12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went underway, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When the star saw, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for everything that's been done in the service thus far. I thank you that the worship team sang with an anointing to give glory and honor to your name, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for Gloria, who presented her gifts before you. And I pray now for this time we have in your word, Lord, that it would transform us, God. So we ask you to bless me as I am your messenger girl, and bless the listeners, God. Oh, God, I know there's so many distractions around us at this Christmas time, but I pray that these moments, Lord, would be shut in with you and you would speak to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. We're listening, God, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You know, I'm the kind of person, I love doing research. I love looking into the background of the different Bible accounts and stories. You know, they're not fables, they're not fairy tales. They're actual accounts of things that have happened in history and of our Savior's coming. And I love to look in the background and see what was going on at that time. So I did a little research. And the Magi, these three, we call them kings, but we don't know. They were called Magi, right? And they were from the east. They were teachers and instructors to the Persian king. They were very learned. They knew science. They knew medicine. They knew philosophy. Interesting that these Magi were Gentiles, and they were looking for the king of the Jews. They were persevering and dedicated to set out on a journey. I mean, for us to get in our car or a plane would be a big deal. But imagine taking camels or donkeys or Lord knows what else they had to take to go on this journey. They realized that there was something happening, and they persevered and they were diligent. But listen to this. They also knew their craft. They knew their science. They knew what they were meant to do. How come I could say that? They knew when a different star appeared. They knew something had changed in the heavenly, that there was something different that had happened that night. This is the Magi. And they went in search of the baby. And they're thinking, okay, the king of the Jews is born. He's born in Jerusalem. Where would you go to look for a king? To a palace. So they went to Herod in Jerusalem. And they inquired, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Herod. Herod was promoted by the Romans because he actually brought some kind of stability. He actually brought some kind of peace. And they promoted him to king and different things. He was governor and king. And he had some good points about him. They say that when the taxes got to be too much, that he would actually try to help the people with this. He had some good points, and he was popular, kind of, and brought some stability. But then, There was something about his character that was a flaw. He was very suspicious. And you know what? It seems harmless. It seems like it's not a big deal. But as he grew as an older man, he became more and more and more suspicious. You say, Pastor Angela, how suspicious was he? Say it. Pastor Angela, how suspicious was he? Well, would you say that killing your wife, your mother-in-law, and three of your sons because you were paranoid that they were going to take your throne or something, would you say that that is the suspicion out of control? I would. That's how paranoid he was. He had his wife, his mother-in-law, his eldest son, and two other sons killed, murdered. His suspicion led him to murder. What a sad commentary. And listen to this. It's been said that when he was getting older and about knew he was going to die, he trumped up charges against some of the very influential people in the city. And he had them thrown in prison without a cause. You know what his reason was? He said, when I die, nobody's going to cry for me, but I'm going to have these people killed, and I'm going to have tears in the city because no one's going to cry for me. A king out of control. And here, now here's a paranoid man, and the Magi come and say, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? Wow! What king? I'm the king! Where is he is born the king of the Jews? You know what? Interestingly enough, this ungodly, suspicious, murderous king knew who to ask. He went and he asked the chief priests and the scribe. And they studied the scriptures. That was their job. That was their calling, their business, right? They knew exactly where to tell him. And they said, oh, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And they gave him instructions. They read from the scripture, as Matthew said it. It says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's the prophecy about the king of the Jews. That's where he's going to be born. I want you to know one thing. You may know about Jesus. You may know the scriptures, and you may not know him. These priests didn't move. When these guys came saying, we saw his star, there's something about him, the king of the Jews is born. If you were a priest and a scribe who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, wouldn't you have said, ooh, I'm coming with you? No. Instead, they stayed. And they knew where the king was going to be born. They directed the Magi, but they continued in their religion without relationship. You see, we can know the scriptures. We can know them in our head. We can read the Bible. We can see these glorious things. We could say, Merry Christmas. God bless you. He was born. And still never have a relationship with the living God. They didn't get in the camel, on the camel, and join the Magi. You heard he's born? I'm going. I'm going. If that was your calling, if that was your job, if that was your passion, wouldn't have you have joined them? Instead, they didn't. And instead, they continued in their ritual, in their job as priests, in their searching of the scriptures, day in and day out, and yet they didn't realize when their time of visitation had come. I want to show the contrast with Simeon and Anna. I'm not going to read it now. I believe it's in Luke 2. They had waited all their lives. They were older people, waited and waited, and they knew somehow they were going to see the Messiah. They knew that sometime in their life, they were expecting and waiting on God, that something glorious was going to happen, and God was going to split history and come into a very dark, dark time where there had been no prophetic voice for about 400 years. But still, Simeon and Anna continued. They learned the scriptures. They were devoted. They went to the house of God. They continued. They persevered and they served God. And you know what? That day when that baby Jesus was presented at the temple, it says that the Holy Spirit moved them. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to say that I get this, is that you have to know when to wait and you have to know when to move. The Magi knew when to move. Simeon and Anna knew when to move. What about you and me? Is it enough to know the scriptures? Is it enough to love him? And you know, as I was preparing, I thought to myself, how interesting this is. Pastor David and I, in our lives, have literally met people who've been introduced to Christ by the most unusual sources, or people who had once served God and then they turned their back on God, but they led others to Christ. These priests and these Levites, they led the people, these scribes led the Magi to where the Christ was going to be, but they never joined. Let it never be said to us, of us, that we just have head knowledge and not a relationship. Never, never let it be said of us. I come up with this in verse 11 of Matthew 2. It says, now this Magi, they traveled on their journey. They traveled and the star appeared again and guided them exactly where they should go. And when it appeared again, they came and they found the mother with a child and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented them to him. The gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I have a question for you this morning. What was the goal of their search? What was the goal of their pilgrimage? What will you and I do when we finally find him? When our searching leads us to him? When we say, I need more in my life. God, I need more. Lord, I am so discontent with this life. I know I have a greater purpose. I know, God, that you're shining on me. I want to find you. I want to search for you with all my heart. What's the goal of your search and my search? You know, I imagine the wise men in this day and age, don't you think they would have had a camera crew with them? Whoa, enlightenment. I've got the track. I know. I'm going. I want to take a crew with me because I want to film it. I'm going to become famous because I know where the Messiah is. Or they could have said, oh, we are so enlightened. We're so intelligent. We were able to discern in the stars that one is being born that is great. So we are the wise men. Or they could have said, I love adventure. I love safaris. I love pilgrimages. And this is going to be the best. Sign up for this trip to Israel. Take this pilgrimage with us and you're going to be enlightened. What was the goal of this search? What was the goal of them taking this pilgrimage and learning and knowing and understanding? It says it so clearly. When they came and they saw him, they bowed down and worshiped them. These were influential people. We know they were wealthy just by the fact that they can take this trip and the gifts that they brought. These were very influential people. But they knew. Tell us where he was born so we can bow down and worship him. Not so I can ask for more things. Oh, do you think the baby will understand that I need a new car? Do you think the baby will understand that I need more respect and prestige, God? What is the goal of us finding him? What are we looking for? Are we searching for the true Messiah? And when we find him, are we willing to bow down and worship him? I ask you that because I know many of us have met the Messiah. We have met Jesus personally. And yet, have we made him the king of our lives? Have we condescended and said, we will bow down before you. We will honor you because we know you are the king. We're magi. We're influential. We're wealthy. We're people of knowledge. But that's nothing Because the goal of my life is to worship you. The goal of my life is to give my heart to you. The goal of my life, I'm sick of just learning about Christmas and shopping and all the things go with it without a relationship. I want to know you more. I don't want to just know you. I want to worship you. I want to make you Lord. We used to sing a song. It said, Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. But in the end it says, if you're not Lord of everything, you're not Lord at all. So we can want to have that baby in the manger. We could want to have one who answers our prayers. We could want to have one who has a purposeful life for us or can get us out of difficulties. But do we want a king that we will fall down and we will bow down and worship him? I'm talking to people who maybe have never had an experience with Christ. Let your goal, let your search lead you to him, the one true King, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, who loved us enough. I read a devotional this week. It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If Jesus, who is in heaven, Max Lucado wrote this. He's surrounded and wrapped in eternal light and bliss and beauty and glory. And yet he came in a dark, damp womb of a maiden. Does that blow your mind? He who is king, he did not come to sit in the palace in Jerusalem. He was cradled in a manger that the cows had hay. That's the love that God has. But in all our searching, especially I'm talking to us as an American church. We search, we want enlightenment, we want to listen to more tapes and I guess it's CDs now and streaming and iPod things and television and we want the latest music and we want all the things of enlightenment and we want to read the Bible with our 20 commentaries. But what is the goal of what we're doing? What is it? Do we want to be the Lord of our own lives? Or do we want to come and worship him? And you know what we find out? That in all actuality, God is searching for us. It says in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Isaiah 65:2 says, all day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people. And Pastor David said this week. You imagine holding out your hands? Do you ever try just for a few minutes? God is holding out his hands to us. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will search for me. And when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. In John 3:16-17, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is he who took the initiative. We may think that we have persevered or we have taken the journey to become a Christ follower. But remember, it was his arms that were outstretched to us. Never forget it. Don't like just give God tokenism. I'm so blessed that all of you showed up this morning. God bless you for putting Christ first. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for starting this time in the presence of the Lord and giving him honor. But let the goal of your life be to worship him and bow down before him and say, Lord, I have dreams and plans, but I put them all in your hands, God, because you are Lord and you know what's best. I've come to worship you. I've come to give my life for you, to you, Lord. And one other thing that struck me about this story, I can go into the significance of the three gifts they brought, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm not. If you want to do a search, go into it. It was prophetic and profound. But what I want to say is, they presented their gifts to him. Who's holding out on their gifts for God? He has graced and equipped every one of us with spiritual gifts and natural gifts. And some of us think we'll just do what we want to do and not give our gifts and our time and our energy and the right affection to him. But he is asking us, will you give me your gifts? I'm saying to you, Catalyst Church, a very unusual Christmas message. Stir up the gifts of God that are in you. Some of you have had prophetic words. Some of you have prayed. Some of you know that you have something more of God, and yet you're content to live this mundane life. Maybe the priests, they just stayed in that temple day after day, reading the scriptures, and here, just miles away, the baby was born. Everything they studied, everything they believed, everything they read was so close to them, and they missed it. Oh, Jesus, may we never miss it. May we accept you fully. May we make you our Lord and King. May we worship you and serve you. Hallelujah. I challenge you. Bring your gifts. Don't play let's make a deal with God. Don't play let's make a deal. I'll give you this if you give me that. I've heard people say that. God, if you don't give me another thing, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be honored. You are worthy to be glorified. And Lord, I report to you and I say, I bow down. Yes, sir. You are not my celestial Santa Claus. You are not my genie in a bottle. You are not my giver of whatever it is that I'm looking for in the natural. But you are Lord and King. And you are so good. I know you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. I know you will do. It says if God gave his son and he did so much. He was born in the manger, but we know the story. It ended in a crucifixion and a victorious resurrection. And if God did all that, do you think he's going to be cheap with you? Do you think he's going to forget the things that you need, the cries of your heart, the things he's speaking to you about? Do you think you know better what to do with your gifts? Do I know better what to do with my gifts? I don't. And it's so exciting. I'm saying to Pastor David that this has been such an exciting time. God is stirring up gifts in us. Maybe we're Elizabeth and Zachariah. I don't know. Hey, if you're feeling hopeless or old or too sick or too weak or too poor or too rich or whatever it is that the enemy may be using to keep you in a box, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I say the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. 2018, we want to see this church not just full of people. I believe we'll be busting at the seams. I believe we'll have a tremendous youth group. I believe we'll have a tremendous kids ministry. I believe we'll have tremendous outreach. I believe we'll train and send missions and pastors and missionaries. But you know what? We've got to bow before him and say, your will be done, Lord. Lord, we give you. We give you our lives. And we acknowledge you. We come and worship you. We don't want to be like those scribes and Pharisees who are so familiar with religion, they miss the visitation. Oh, visit us, Lord. Visit us, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. I thank God for the gifts that he's put together today. This is a generation to generation church. From our kids, to our youth, to our young adults, to our seniors, to us in between, whatever it is, God loves us.